Turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. And also put a bookmark on Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. We're going to be engaging in a series over the next couple of weeks called The Altar of Sacrifice. And part one of the series is going to be dealing with setting or repairing the altar. Or specifically, the altar of your heart. You see, an altar is a place of worship. It is a place of coming before God. And it is also a place of dedication. That's why I said to everyone, come to the front at the altar. Because an altar is a place of meeting. This was a place of encounter for people. Because as you said before, encounters are great. But encounters are only the next step. Encounters are a place of propelling to the next. Amen? So in the book of 1 Kings, which is going to be our key scripture throughout the next 3 weeks, it reads, "Then Elijah said to the people, 'Come near to me.' And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down." Now, as I said, we'll read that in conjunction with Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, which reads, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Hallelujah. You see, the God we serve is constantly moving forward and propelling towards somewhere. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21, we find this when the Lord goes before the children of Israel by day and by night as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, because he went before them. We see this also in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 33. "For the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them for 3 days' journey to seek out a resting place for them." So, God will always go before you. But God not only does that, God will always be with you. If you read the book of Joshua in chapter 3, when they took the promised land, the Ark of the Covenant, when God told Joshua, "Go around Jericho 6 times, then on the 7th time, do the loud scream," on the 7th day, "do the loud scream," the Ark of the Covenant traveled with them. So there were guys who were priests, not warriors. Not trained warriors, priests, walking around in a war zone carrying a big box. Well, that's what it looks like when you're inside Jericho. That's what you see. You see these guys going around the wall carrying this box with armed soldiers. What is it that is in this box? Because it is God with you. And then the Lord will always do it first to show you. So first and foremost, God will lead you. God will go with you. And then God will show you how to do it. So not only will he lead you, not only will he be with you, he will then say, "This is how you do it." He'll say, "Walk ye in this way." Jesus makes the statement in the book of John chapter 5 verse 19. He says, "The Son can do nothing by himself, but what he sees the Father do." He can't do anything. If Jesus says, "I do nothing by myself," except what I see what God does. Isn't that a sign for us? Isn't that what we must do? Which is why we see that this Jesus that we meet in this New Testament for the first time, well, not really, because we see remnants and types and shadows of him throughout the Old Testament. But this Jesus in the full manifestation of his person now in this New Testament that we read is fully God and fully man, showing us how to live life on this earth. Which is why Jesus had to go to the cross to die and then be resurrected, being the first of the resurrection, the first fruit. If he's the first fruit, it means there's other fruit to follow. Guess who that is? Exactly. All of us here, all of you connecting with us online and on television, myself included, the band, the vocals, the crew, the team at the back, all of us are the fruit that then follows. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 20 says, "But in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep." He is the first of the resurrection. There are others to be resurrected, but we also have died. When you got baptized that day, you got baptized. If you haven't been baptized yet, we can sort that out. But the day you baptized, you got baptized, you were symbolizing that I have died with Christ. No longer I that live, but he that lives in and through me. You see, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14:6, it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except me," which means he holds the right direction for us to go, the correct instruction for us to follow, and the accurate way for us to live and have life. That's why he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is a particular way we need to live on this earth that God has called us to. This is part of repairing the altar. Remember, Elijah said to the Israelites, "Come closer." And in the Bible, if you read that whole story, it says he begins to take the altar that was there that the other prophets of Baal had actually sacrificed on and began to take it down and then rebuild it properly. Because there's a rebuilding that is required. Because sometimes we get so distracted by other things, and then we import foreign things into what God has called us to do, and we think it's okay, but it isn't. You see, his everything is about advancement, ever forward, never backward. Because he's calling us to a mark of a high calling. Therefore, I need to go upward and onward into something. You see, there's a convenience of this world and a truth of the world, of the word, that come against each other in today's society, because all of you are constantly being bombarded with different things. There's constant information, constant social media posts, constant opinions that are coming at you, trying to make you into something that does not resemble or look like God. Remember, the Bible says in the beginning, God said, "Let us create man in our image and likeness." Therefore, Desnay, when I look at you in the flesh, you don't look like me. But when I look at you in the spirit, we're twins. Because if he knew me, if he knew me before I was even formed in my mother's womb, that means he knew you and you and you and you and you. And if we were all formed and made and created, twinsies. You see, when the Apostle Paul spoke to the Roman church in Romans chapter 12, he was talking about the leading grace of God of how to. Because if you read that statement in Romans chapter 12, he starts it off and he says, I appeal to you, therefore, implying that he just finished an argument. Because I make that statement of saying, I appeal to you, therefore. Like, you know when you do maths in school, you do all your calculations and you say, therefore, the answer is. So the word therefore means concluding all now what I've said. Therefore, I appeal to you by the mercies of God. Present your body as a living sacrifice, right? So what did he say? He was talking about Elijah. He says, Elijah cried and said, oh God, I'm all alone. Lonely. But God said, no, you are not, because by the grace of God, many others did not bow to Jezebel. He says, therefore, because others have come before you and have not bowed, you too are able to not bow. So you see, the statement is that there are many who have stood before us and they have stood for righteousness. But even in all of this that you are traveling now, how many of you understand the word leaven? Jesus says, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees. And you know what leaven is? You see that word in the Bible, leaven? Anyone seen that word in the Bible, leaven? Anyone ever seen a Bible? A Bible. It's like the thing that was like the first book, you know, a Bible. Okay. Anyone here know how to bake bread? Bake bread. Right? So you know what leaven is. It's yeast. So if you bake bread, you know what yeast does, right? So you're baking the bread, you make your nkama. You know, get your water, your dough, you put or you go buy it at the retailer. I know you guys. Trying to make sticky bread and you're like, oh no, I just made this dough. And no, you bought it. I can see the packet in the trash. So what they do is, when you know you're baking and you're putting your thing, everything's getting ready, you take a bit of yeast, a small amount of yeast, right? You put it in some water, right? Then you pour it in there, right? Do you know that a chemical reaction takes place where the yeast changes certain things and then the dough begins to expand? That little bit of yeast can impact an entire amount of dough. Be careful of the leaven. But I love the word of the Lord because I'll get there right now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let me read it from my Bible. Oh, I got my Bible back. You know, this Bible, I was blessed by my sister and my brother-in-law. I'd been saved for a short while. It's an amplified King James parallel Bible. And then it got damaged. Then I had to send it to get it recovered. I'm so blessed by it. So 1 Corinthians, I'm going to conclude with something. I'm going somewhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, about the condition of your church, your boasting is not good indeed. It is most unseemingly and entirely out of place. Do you not know that just a little leaven will ferment the whole lump of dough? Just a bit of yeast ferments the entire lump of dough. Purge or clean out the old leaven that you may have fresh new dough, still uncontaminated as you are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with leaven of vice and malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of purity, nobility, honor, and sincerity, and unadulterated truth. The impact of yeast. Who is the yeast in your life? That little bit of yeast you have in your life will change the chemical composition of your destiny. You don't believe me? You don't believe the impact? I heard this statement from Pastor Paul Inetche, and I was like, my God. I went to my Bible quickly. I went Genesis, Revelation. I was like, it's there. How did I miss this? Pastor Paul Inetche says this, and he makes this profound statement. He says, the serpent that Eve tolerated in Genesis became the dragon we see in Revelation. Go read it. Go to the book of Revelation. It's Satan. It's Lucifer. The same one who was a small serpent in Genesis is now a big dragon in the book of Revelation. You tolerate that yeast in your life just a bit. It starts out as a small serpent. Next thing, it's a big dragon. My God. You see, this wisdom of man is a trap. It's a problem. And the trap lives in your ignorance. It lives in the gaps of ignorance. How many of you have written an exam here? An exam. Anyone written an exam? Anyone written an exam? Went to school, wrote an exam. Wrote an exam. How many of you got to that question that you don't know? But then you begin to say, nah, man, if I do this, this makes sense. And you start to write stuff, ne? And in your own wisdom, you're like, ah, this makes sense. Right? It flows. It makes sense. Yeah. You're like, yeah, no, my teacher will give me marks for this. It's out of 10, at least I'll get 5 or 6. But then you get your script back. And your foolishness and ignorance is exposed. Because sometimes we have to understand, if we don't answer by the book, Jesus said, it is written. He answered by the book when the exam came. When Jesus was in the wilderness and the exam came, he didn't say, Kwanene, what's it? Mm-mm. No, Jesus went, it is written, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. Oh, come on. Man shall not live by bread alone. Then they came again. It is written. Are you saying what is written, or are you saying what you heard? That's all. When I even heard it from Pastor Paul, I went to the Bible. I was like, this is a cool statement. It's flashy. But let me go see it in scripture. You ever read something in scripture and you feel like an idiot because you're like, but I've read these things. I never connected these dots though. Dots connected. That serpent that you tolerate today becomes the dragon that wants to consume you in the future. You see, some people are always looking for a revolution. We are revolutionaries, comrades. You are looking for a revolution instead of waiting for a revelation. You are trying to fight a fight that doesn't exist. Remember what we said. In the flesh, we look different. Do you know who doesn't look like God? The devil. We are created in the image and likeness. So who does he want? Who does he want fighting? He wants us fighting. He wants Maurice and I to fight. He wants Keegan and I to fight. He wants Jesse and I to fight. I'd win that fight, by the way. He wants you and me to get into a fight. He tries to point out these things. But one thing we must recognize and realize, we are twinsies. This is not a time for us to get into a fight. We are twinsies. And if he can distract us long enough, he can keep us distracted from what we're supposed to be doing. That's why there's always a revolution. That's why political parties are always making you fight about something. Your neighbor is the enemy. Look at history. That's what the Germans did. Your neighbor is the enemy. That's how it works. That is the strategy of the enemy. Because Jesus said this, a kingdom divided against itself will never prosper. I want you to hold that. I'd say it's sticking in your something and something, but I can't say that. We're on TV. You see, these are all simply just distractions, because there's an illusion of reality that we live in, that the world shows us through social media, through TikTok, through Instagram, through all these platforms that people are using, and it's great, and we use them, we preach the gospel, we reach people, we have funny memes. I'm king of sending and posting memes. I love them. They're hilarious. But right there and then, guess what they're doing? They're creating an illusion of reality. And we're busy trying to fight and find the next fight. We're always trying to find the next fight, because every generation feels like I have to. Listen, we are needing the revelation, because we had a fight that we've been put before us eons ago. That's the fight where we step out, because there are people that are lost and dying out there that need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's why we inspire. We equip. The next is here. The next is now. And that's why we always expand. We're going higher. We're going deeper. We're going further in the name of Jesus. We are called for such a time as this. There will always be something new to get your focus, what you should be doing. But you shouldn't lose track of what you should be doing. Two keys, quickly, before we throw across. You see, first key is that your foundation needs to be correct. How do I get my foundation correct? I'll give you some scriptural reference to help you to see how this works. There was a boy, 8 years old, in 2 Kings chapter 22. His name was Josiah. He was king for about 8 years. So at the age of 16, anyone 16 here? Anyone 16? So at your age, when Josiah, after 8 years of being king, when he started, he was 8 years old. After 8 years of being king, he says to one of his guys, "Hey, my guy, just go to the temple of the Lord. Let's go fix it up. Let's make it look nice." You know what I mean? Like what we're doing in our space here. We're going to make it look nice. You know what I'm saying? And what he does and what they discover is the word of the Lord. And they discover that Israel has been living in sin. So all of a sudden, that ignorance that they were living in sin and didn't even know. Some of you are living in sin and you don't even know. Now, I'm not talking what you think is sin. Because some of us, we think, oh, if I'm doing this and doing drugs and drinking, living outside of the will and purpose of God. Living outside. The Bible says this in verse 11. It says, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he did what? He tore his clothes. It was a sign of repentance and lamenting at missing it. Key number one, you need to repent. God, I missed it. I got so mixed up in the ideologies of this world. I got so stuck on the things that happened in this world. Just quickly before we cross over to Tando and Shilin. Then he said, go inquire of the Lord for me, in verse 13, for the people and for all of Judah concerning the words of this book that have been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that it is written. He sought counsel from the Lord. After repenting, he said, okay, God, what do I do now? You see, you don't have to go ask some guy to go find out. You've already got the basic instructions before you're leaving earth. Then, in verse 16 to 18, I want you to see this contrast. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, and all the words of this book of the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched. God says, I am coming in. Give me two more minutes, guys, and I'm going to wrap it up. But to the king of Judah, this is God, but to the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard. And you know what follows? God says, you won't experience that in your generation. Basically says, you're exempt because you repented and you sought an answer from me. You see, therefore, the foundation of our direction must always be the truth, which is the word of God. As Pastor Niall always puts it, the truth that you know will set you free. And key number two, which is very quick, renew your mind. The word is designed to realign your thinking and cleanse our thoughts of all unrighteousness. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You see, removing all these lies that would ultimately lead to death. These lies would lead you to death. You see, if the enemy keeps us fighting, he will keep us away from what God has called us to do. We are created in God's image and likeness. And the more we hold on to what we experience and see in the flesh, the more we will find ourselves walking in death. You guys can cross over after the statement. Dr. Andre Rabot made this powerful statement during Revival 7.0. He said, if you hold on to something that keeps you in the flesh, you will miss what the Lord has for you. Amen.